All right. Let's look at Luke chapter 8 now. If anybody has any questions about that stuff, you can feel free to give me a shout or, you know, talk about it, whatever. Father, open our hearts to your word this morning. Help us to see another aspect of Jesus. Reveal yourself to us, Lord, from the scripture. Help us to understand your heart and do a work within each of us to be those who are willing to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. I really appreciated your exhortation this morning, Rayo, and the prophetic word about drawing near to receive from him, because this story of the sower and the seed is one that really, I believe, is a focus around how do we hear? How do we hear the Word of God? And the title was called Three Blessings for Those Who Hear. Things that God wants to give into your life if you're learning to hear from him. And hopefully these things that we receive as blessings would be enough motivation for us to make sure the soil of our heart is in a good place to receive from him. So that's kind of where I'm going with this. So Luke chapter 8, verse 1, soon afterward he went through cities and villages proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. This was the message of Jesus Christ, the good news of the kingdom. It was his mission on the earth. It says the 12 were with him. He was training them. There was also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. These were women who were really living examples, living testimonies of the power of the kingdom. And they went with Jesus. And he was able to point and say, hey, look at this. Look at that person. Look what God has done here. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna. You know, Mary Magdalene and Joanna were two women that went to see the tomb. They stood by Jesus all the way to the end. Herod's household manager, and then Susanna, many others were there, and they provided for them out of their means. These women actually provided financially for Jesus to go and do his work. That's pretty amazing when you think about it, because he's God. Luke 8, verse 4. And when a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable. Now, a parable is just a story. It's a story about something very real in life. It's a real life story that most people understand, but alongside the parable is a spiritual truth that he's trying to communicate. And some people grasp the spiritual truth, some don't. So there's a natural story that makes sense to just about everybody, and then this little truth over here that we need to hear and really understand. So a sower went out to sow his seed. A sower was like a farmer back in those days, and they didn't have John Deere tractors and things like that. They would really carry their seed in a seed bag, and they'd walk down through the field, and they would throw it out. That's what it meant to sow the seed. And they would walk and broadcast the seed out into the field. And so he said the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, look where the different places are the seed fell, because he wasn't being, you know, that precise about, well, there's a rocky soil there, I want to avoid that. He just was scattering it, and some of it fell in places where it would grow, and some of it fell in places that weren't ideal. And so he says, some fell along the path, and it was trampled. So you get the idea that there was oftentimes in these fields hard ground where people would go up and down and sow the field, and so it was a pathway people would walk through, and it became very hard dirt. And so this seed would never get a chance to get down in there and put roots down. So he said some fell there, and it was trampled underfoot, and then the birds of the air came and devoured it. And then it says some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away. Think about this. It's like it started to grow. You don't think the rocky soil has no growth potential. It's there, But as it's growing, it's also withering because there's no root. There's no moisture there. So there's a little bit of life, but the sun's out, and even as it's growing, it's kind of dying away. And that's how he describes this one. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Some fell among thorns. And listen, the thorns grew up with it. So what's happening here is it's actually growing. You know, the seed that's among the thorns is actually growing, but there's something else growing along with it called thorns. And as that plant grows up, the thorns begin to choke it out, and it dies. It was choked. And then it says, some fell into good soil. Praise God for that. I'm glad that after reading all this and hearing Jesus say all this, you're wondering, did any of this seed fall on good ground? Is this guy ever going to get a return on his sowing? But some did fall into good soil, and it grew, and it yielded 100-fold. And he said these things, or as he said these things, he called out, listen to this, because to me, this entire parable is about this next point. It's about hearing. How do you hear the word of God? And Jesus said, he who has ears, how many here have ears? Isn't it kind of funny for someone to say, he who has ears, let him hear? Because you would think, well, I do have ears, I am hearing. But what's he really saying here? See, he's saying, listen. He's saying, hear. My dad used to give us rules, like, you know, you're going to go over to your friend's house. I don't want you being out past midnight. Do you hear me? Now, when he said, do you hear me? He wasn't really asking, do you hear me? Because we did, because he was probably yelling at the time. He said, do you hear me? What he was saying is, do you understand what I'm saying? Do you comprehend? And do you know that there's a consequence if you don't? Will you obey me? Do you respect me? So that's what he's saying when he said, do you hear me? And so when Jesus calls out into this crowd, he's saying, you who have ears, hear me. And he's talking about this deeper hearing, this listening, this being able to comprehend. Because everybody there, I'm sure, heard the story. But do you really hear the story? Do you really comprehend it? Do you really get what I'm trying to say? And that's his point here. So the question I want you to be thinking about this morning is, how am I hearing? Or am I hearing? Am I just hearing the parable? Or am I hearing the deeper truth? And am I good soil? Or is my soil rocky? Or is my soil caught up with thorns? And how is this seed growing in my life? Or is it? That's what I want you to be thinking about. It's a parable about hearing. Verse 9, the disciples asked him what this parable meant. And now Jesus is going to tell them something which I want to call the first blessing for those who hear. Listen to this. He said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. I want you to know the kingdom of God has some secrets, mysteries, hidden things. Everybody loves a secret, don't they? I mean, if somebody calls you on the phone and says, I got a secret to share, what happens? What happens inside of your heart when you're about to be told a secret? It's like something inside of you rises up. Oh, I just can't wait to hear this juicy secret, whatever it is. And Jesus is, in a way, he's kind of tantalizing them. He's saying, to you, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom. I mean, I know that there are things about the kingdom of God that I still don't understand. Rayo, you've been saved for 40 years. You don't understand everything. I want you to know that. And praise God, you've been saved for 40 years. I praise God for that. And he knows a lot of the secrets, but there's a lot he doesn't know. But as we hear, as we learn to hear, and as we learn to respond and obey, there's something that he's going to continue to reveal to us Unto you it is given to understand the secrets of the kingdom. How many want that? I want that. I hope that everybody in this room is saying, yeah, I want to know the secrets of the kingdom. And so that puts us on one category. The other category he mentions here, but for the others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. So he's really taking and dividing all these people in this crowd into two camps. He's saying, some of you are given to know the secrets of the kingdom. Others, these parables are things that they will never comprehend, they will never see, they will never understand. And the question you got to ask yourself is, which side of that equation do you want to be on? Dull of hearing or really hearing? So the secrets of the kingdom are coming into my life. Look at, you don't have to turn here, but I'm going to read this scripture. If you want to turn there, you can. Matthew 13, 16. Jesus said, blessed are your eyes, for they see. And your ears. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. Listen to this. He said, truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see the things which you see, but they've not seen them. And to hear the things which you hear and have not heard them. What he's saying is all these guys in the Old Testament, they desired to see and to hear, but they're now being revealed. They're now being known to you. Something that's been hidden. These guys were out there in the Old Testament. They were prophesying and saying things. And they're saying, what in the world are we talking about? But they're saying these things. And now here, the Lord is saying, blessed are your eyes, they see. Blessed are your ears, they hear. And this revelation's coming. It's insight that comes only because of the Lord. He opened their eyes. And then he says this in Acts 28, verse 26. Acts 28, verse 26 to 27. Go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see and not perceive. And then he goes on to say, the heart of this people is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. You know, there are people in this world who just don't want to have anything to do with His Word. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to see it. We push it out of our schools. We take it out of the public debate. We keep pushing His Word away. Well, when that's happening, we're seeing, but we're not seeing. We're hearing, but we're not comprehending. And we're pushing that Word further and further away. The danger is, let's not do that in the church. We are God's people. When the Word of God comes, let's hear it. Let's comprehend it. Let's see those secrets of the kingdom that He wants to reveal unto us. Okay? So in this, when the disciples asked Jesus what's the parable meant, the first thing He does before He describes it, He says, look, there's two kinds of people out here. Those who are going to see and understand the secrets of the kingdom, and those who will hear but not really hear. All right? So now let's talk about what does the parable mean. So in verse 11, Jesus said, the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. I like the idea that God describes the Word of God like a seed. Think about a seed for a minute. What is the power of a seed, the potential of a seed? Think about this. You have a seed, it looks like a little round thing, multiple colors or whatever it might be, but if you put it in the ground, and it actually germinates, it will grow and become like the mother plant. Like if I take a piece of corn and put it in the ground, you know an apple tree is not going to grow, is it? It's going to start looking like what it came from. Because that life that's here in this plant is also in that little seed. And when the seed is planted and begins to grow, all of a sudden it takes on characteristics of this plant and it starts looking like it. And you say, hey, that's a corn plant. And we know because there's a corn plant there, there was a seed planted. And so Jesus is talking about the Word of God being like a seed. Think of the potential of the Word of God if it's truly planted like a seed in your life. The Bible says this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. It says, we have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. So you know what happened? Somebody came one day and preached the Word of God to you. It was like a seed. And the Bible says faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so somebody came out and they said, I want to tell you about Jesus. And they cast a seed. And that seed came and you said, yes, I see that. I believe it. And it's and you were born again by an incorruptible seed. Now, depending on what you do from this point on, because is that rocky soil? Is that thorny soil? Is that a hard path it fell on? Or is it good soil? Depending on what's happening here, is going to determine whether you start taking on the characteristics of the seed. And who knows what the characteristics of the seed are? It's like Jesus. Jesus is the Word made flesh. And so when you're born again, you're a new creation in Christ, and that seed is planted here, and all of a sudden, as it's in good soil, you start taking on changes in your life that are characteristic of Jesus Christ. You start loving like Jesus and you know, forgiving like Jesus and being kind like Jesus. It's just like the character of Christ. The fruits of the Spirit begin to grow in our lives and we become fruitful. And our lives begin to reflect where the seed came from. Isn't that amazing? But it all depends on what's here. You see, the weird thing about it is, there's nothing wrong with the seed. The seed is perfect. The perfect seed is here. But you or I have the power to nullify its effect in our life. And that to me is amazing. That I can turn my ear. I can get caught up in the cares of this life. I can have no root. And this powerful seed that's been planted here with the potential to change my life and to help me become more like Christ, begins to be snuffed out. So the question again is, how do you hear? How do you hear? Let's talk about the four different soils. Along the path, it says in verse 12, the ones along the path are those who have heard. In other words, the message has gone out. And then it says the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts. So those birds he talked about that came and ate the seed, that's like the devil. He comes along and takes the word right out of a person's heart so they won't believe and be saved. Well, when you study in the Scripture, what does it mean to be trampled underfoot? It's in the Strong's Concordance, a word that means to reject with disdain. And it basically means that you place no value in the Word of God. Think about this, what it says in Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and what? Trampled under feet. See, it has no more value. So we're just going to trample it under our feet. Another place it says in Matthew 7, verse 6, do not give dogs what is holy. Do not throw out your pearls before pigs. How many here would, if you had pearls, would throw them out before pigs? Well, why wouldn't you? Because to the pig, the pearl has no value. And the Bible says, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and attack you. So when it talks about the seed has been sown along the path, it's being trampled underfoot, it basically says these people really have no value. They don't see any value in the Word of God. That seed holds no value. The Bible tells us that as newborn babes, we should desire the milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. You know, if you're a little baby, how many of you know that milk is valuable? You cry for it. You scream for it. You keep your parents up in the middle of the night because you want that milk. It's valuable to you. And the Bible's telling us, as newborn babes, desire the milk of the Word that you may grow. That's value. Job said, I consider your Word more than my necessary food. That's value. So the question I want to ask you this morning is, do you highly value the Word of God? How about on the rock? The ones on the rock are those, when they hear, see, they're all hearing. Everybody's hearing. The question is how you hear or what comes along with the hearing. And so those on the rock are those, when they hear the Word, they receive it with joy. It's like, oh, well, praise God, I just heard the Word. Something's exciting happening in my life. And we've all seen this, and maybe that's been you at some point in your life. It's like, oh, man, I'm so excited because the Lord did something in me. I heard this message or this happened, and praise God, there's joy. And all of a sudden, this thing starts growing. You see little green things coming up. It's like, praise God, look at this. But the Bible says they have no root. And they believe for a while, but in a time of testing, they fall away. The question here is, what are you going to do when testing comes? Testing is going to come to every one of us. Trials come to every person. We try to paint this picture for Jesus. Once you get saved, all your problems go away. No, most of the time, once you get saved, your problems begin, because now you have a big enemy coming your way. But trials are part of the Christian experience. And the Lord, I believe, has designed trials for our life not to cast us off of following Him, but to deepen our roots in Him. Here's a scripture. Listen to this in James chapter 1, verse 2. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Well, what in the world are you talking about, James? Count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. I wonder what would happen one morning if we had a testimony time and someone said, I just want to count it all joy this morning because of the trial I'm going through. That's what he says here. Why? Because this person is saying there's a perspective about trials that I want you to grasp. I want you to hear this. We think, oh, no, woe is me, I'm going through trials. And Jesus is saying, no, you're going through trials. Get your roots deeper. And so he says, count it all joy, brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith causes me to wither and die. Is that what it says there? The testing of your faith produces steadfastness. The testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You know, trials can cause different people to respond in different ways. A great story is a story of Job. Him and his wife experienced the greatest trial of their life, and it's revealed to us in the Scripture that in one day they lost all their possessions, all their children. Their whole life was wiped out in front of them. And his wife says, why don't you just curse God and die? Why do we put up with this stuff, you know? Be done with it, Job. And Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. One of them had their roots go deeper, and one of them was withering because of the trial. So there will be you, those of us here, who will hear the Word of God. We'll hear it, and it'll cause joy, and there'll be excitement, and we'll say, oh, praise the Lord. You know, oh, my goodness, look at what's going on in my life. And all of a sudden, a trial's going to come. And what are you going to do? Be careful how you hear, Jesus says, because depending on how you respond to that trial, is you're going to get deeper roots and continue to be sustained, or you're going to dry up and wither. How do you hear? How about the thorns? Verse 14, those that fell among the thorns are those who hear. They hear it, and there's growth. And as they go on their way, it says they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life. Their fruit does not mature. I just see these things as distractions. The cares of this life, the pursuit of riches, pursuit of earthly pleasure, all these things are distractions that grow up with us. And so what happens, what you'll find yourself doing is you get, you know, you hear the word of God, it begins to grow in your life, but rather than having a focus, like we were saying this morning about spending time in the word, spending time in prayer, letting that seed really grow and come to maturity, we just begin to fill our life with all kinds of other things that distract us and carry us away. And so, yeah, there's life there. There's a plant growing, but along with it are all these thorns. And you know, before you know it, I'm so distracted by all these other things that life that he has planted here gets choked out. You know, so question again is, how do we hear? How do we hear? Do you want to know the secrets of the kingdom of God? Cast your cares upon him. You want to know the secrets of the kingdom of God? Let your roots go deeper. What about the good soil? The good soil are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast. This means to grasp it, to retain it. That to me sounds like something of value, doesn't it? I hear it, I want to keep it, I want to retain it, I want to hold it fast. And it says they have an honest and a good heart, and they bear fruit with patience. When I think of the word patience, I think about enduring trials. When I think of the good heart, I read the scripture that Jesus talked about Mary and Martha. One of them was distracted with all kinds of things. And Jesus said the other one, Mary, says, you've chosen the good part. And that's the same Greek word here, the good heart, choosing the good thing rather than the distraction. And so what I see in the good soil is basically everything that combats the other kinds of soil. What's the second blessing for those who hear? Luke 8, verse 16. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. So get the picture here. You're in a dark room. You cannot see a thing. You get a candle and you light it. All of a sudden, everything in that room becomes illuminated. Now you see clearly. How many of you, if that happened, you would say, you know what? I think I'm going to hide this under a bushel. Because all of a sudden, everything that I now see and I see clearly, well, I'm just going to hide it now. I'm going to stick it under the bed. And Jesus is kind of throwing out this funny, it's almost like a joke here. He's saying, how many of you would do this? It doesn't make any sense for somebody to have the light turned on to see clearly what's going on in this room and all of a sudden say, I think I'm going to snuff it out. But that's exactly what we do when we hear the word of God and don't keep it. The light gets turned on and we see, maybe for the first time, we see clearly, but we say, bah. Or we let the cares of this life snuff it out. Or that rocky soil. And now this light that's there to illuminate everything in this room somehow gets clouded again. Instead of seeing and having this revelation and having this understanding, now it's dark again because I put this bushel over it. And so read the rest of this portion here. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a stand so those who enter may see the light. You know, the Bible says that his word is a lamp unto my feet, a guide unto my path. Luke 8, 17, for nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. And I think this is a tie back to what Jesus told his disciples, it is given to you to know the secrets of the kingdom. That when that light is lit, all of a sudden we see, and everything that's hidden will be manifest. Jesus one time said this, I have many things to say to you, but what? You cannot hear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you things that are to come. One time in Hebrews 5:11, it talked about this teaching about Melchizedek, and he told the people, we want to talk about him. We have many things to say about Melchizedek, but it's hard to be uttered seeing you are what? Dull of hearing. See, they weren't hearing. And because they weren't hearing, they weren't able to see. They weren't able to receive further revelation. I'm telling you, there are people in this room who've been saved for 20, 30, 40 years, maybe even longer. Anybody been saved longer than 40 years in here today? 41. All right, you're the old man then. 41 years. Bill, there's more that Jesus has to show you. Some of us, we get to this place where we think we understand everything. I know all the truth. I know all the scriptures. I know all the doctrines. Listen, there's so much more. There's so many things that he would reveal to us, and he wants to continue to open our eyes to see wonderful things out of his word. But if we're putting the bushel on top of it, if we're hearing it and getting caught up in the cares of this life, what can we see? We're not really seeing anymore. We're not really hearing anymore. And so his challenge to these people is, verse 18, take care then how you hear. For the one who has, more will be given. I hope you will see that as a second blessing to those who hear. That is, more will be given. If you're sitting here today thinking I've got enough, you need to say, Lord, I want more. I don't want to stop where I'm at. I thank you for the things you've shown me. I thank you for the truth I understand. I thank you for the truth I'm walking in, but I want more. And let's light this candle and keep it out there. Let's make sure we're seeing everything in the room. Let's make sure that everything that's hidden will be revealed. Everything that's hidden in darkness is coming forward because we're seeing these secrets being revealed by that light of God's word. Well, the last blessing to those who hear is found in verse 19, and we'll close with this. His mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who what? Who hear the word of God and do it. You want to be in the inner circle? I do. I want to be in the inner circle with Jesus. I mean, that's probably an irreverent way to say that. Jesus is basically saying, you know what? My special relationship of family, is with those who hear my word and keep it. And you know what? Any one of us can have that relationship. That's not just for an elder or a pastor or someone who's been saved for 20 years. Any one of you can have this. That's the third blessing of those who hear. He gives the secrets to those who hear. To those who hear, he will give more. It's like exercise. How many of you know that if you don't exercise your arms, your muscles atrophy? They just basically go away. What you have begins to be lost. And I would bet that there's some of us here today that we've known the Lord, we walk with the Lord, we maybe walked in some truth for a while, but then we got caught up in cares, we stopped exercising those things, and maybe some things we had began to atrophy. But the more we use them, the stronger we get. So more will be given. That's the second blessing. And the third blessing is this special relationship with Jesus, to be called a brother. There's a day coming when Jesus is going to say to many people that will scare them, I never knew you. I don't want that to be me to you. But Lord, I've prophesied in your name. I've done many wonderful works in your name. I'm sorry, man. I never knew you. So let's all stand together. And I just want to encourage all of us to be people who hear the seed of God's word that is planted in my heart, and that we will aggressively keep that soil of our heart piled up so that the seed has a good place to fall. And as it begins to grow, we start seeing the characteristics of Christ becoming more and more proficient, you know, more and more profuse, I guess is the word I want, in my life. Lord, I pray for our congregation that we would be people who desire to hear. Lord, for any that are here today and they find that seed has fallen on rocky soil, that they are tossed easily back whenever a trial comes, I pray, Lord God, that you help them to find their roots in you. Help them that have trust in you, Lord God, just like Job in his deepest trial found his deepest commitment. And Father, I pray that our roots would go down every trial that we face, that nothing like this would ever cause us to be tossed off of the foundation we have in Christ. Lord, for those who may be caught up in the cares of this life or pleasures or riches or the pursuit of other things, I just pray that we would see how that is damaging the very growth of your word within our life, Lord God, that we would so detest that we would turn away from those things by your grace to be able to say no to ungodliness and to say yes to worldly or to the riches of Christ. Say no to worldliness, Lord God. I pray that the thorns that may be around that person's life, crowding in and choking out the effects of God's word, would be cut down. And Lord, that all of us would have a heart that is good soil, that seed would find a place to grow and flourish and produce 100-fold. Help us to hear. I ask you for that in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Hey, take some time to share your love with one another. And if you have a need for prayer, please feel free to come up. We're glad to be with you. And especially if you have a question about your salvation. God bless you guys.